Africa is our topic, our today's topic. Africa, with its beauty, its people, its huge wealth, but paradoxically with also a lot of challenges, difficult ones that we will try to touch. And it is a good time today, as the France-Africa Summit was held yesterday in Montpellier, France, called and planned by the French President Emmanuel Macron. Among many speeches, we heard a vibrant civil society that spoke without any filters, sometimes hitting hard at the French president. Here is one example. Macron was saying how without the French militaries in Sahel, there wouldn't be any government in Mali. According to him, France was there to help and Malians should be grateful. Declarations to which Adam Diko, a young activist from Mali, replied, and I quote her, "Let me remind you, Mr. Macron, that the presence of jihadists in the Sahel is the consequence of the Western intervention in Libya by killing Gaddafi. And also, let me tell you that without Africa, there wouldn't be any France today," end quote. I invite you, all interested, to go watch the many videos that are available online about the summit. But Thomas, there are so many challenges that Africa faces. So I turn to you. What can we say? What is your take?
Well, thank you very much again, the regime, for giving me the opportunity to give my opinion and to enlighten our people about the problems we have with the Africans. First of all, I'm going to sideline some of the problems and I'll be giving some of the possible solutions that is based on my own opinions. One, there's a problem with our African leaders because for the fact that they have to hold a conference that concerns Africa in France is already a problem to us. Because no matter what they're going to speak there, it's nothing, because that is a problem that concerns Africa. It's like you have a problem, you're taking it to the person causing the problem to solve the problem. It's not going to work. It's an African problem. We have to have our own African summit in Africa to solve our problem. First, that's a problem I'm seeing. That's the first step we have to start to solve the African problem.
Okay.
And secondly, I will now go on the, the problem is not only France, but France is causing 85% of the problem in Africa. Because France alone is the only European country that has the permit to sell weapons in Africa, which means all the weapons coming to Africa is being sold by France. And now, how can we have rebel groups having armed, sophisticated weapons? Where is these weapons coming from? They have been sold by France. They bought these weapons from France. And you say you're coming to protect Africa while you're selling weapons to rebels. You call them rebels because you make them to be rebels because they are fighting for your interests. When they cause this destability, you have the opportunity to come as a peace broker in order to sign your trade deals and harvest what you want to harvest.
Go on.
Now, by cutting this arms deal, Africans, we have engineers, good engineers, but we don't make use of these engineers that can create these atomic bombs, this AK-47. We have them. When we have these engineers, they come up, we saw them on social media. The Western world, they are very fast to come and pick them and bring them and make use of them.
Okay.
Why we don't make use of our own engineers who can also make us not to buy weapons from these people?
Actually, this is a very important point that you're making, because among the intervention actually that happened, because what is happening, actually, let me give a brief background of that summit. This summit is particular in the sense that the past summits were a gathering of head of states. That is, the French will organize and they will invite African head of states. This time it is different. There are no head of states attending that conference. It is only the civil society, young people, young activists, intellectuals, you know, nothing to do with politics. As Macron, being a young man, he wanted to give the way, the words, you know, the floor to young people. Also because he recognizes that in Africa there is not so much possibilities of young people to speak freely as it will happen in Europe, for example. So many of the people who are spoken actually touched a lot of what you just said about the deals that France, but not only, make with African leaders, because the armed groups that work in Africa, as France, Macron was saying, that are there, or the France intervention in Africa is there because they have been requested by democratic elected presidents. For example, in Mali, the then Malian president is the one who asked France to come and support. In Central Africa, the Central Africa Republic, it was then the president of that country who requested the support of France then. And we can name Congo, we can name many of those countries. And France, they feel that they are legitimate to go, you know, to be called. And then they, because they are in a humanitarian way, they cannot say no. But again, you mentioned the fact that actually it's not that humanitarian aspect, that's the reality, but they are making money out of that. You are also mentioning something very important, that you we have engineers that can build, create those arms, but what are they not doing it? Is it the fault of France if they are not doing it? Isn't it that the responsibility are from the African president that don't allow their people to create wealth in the continent?
I'm going to, first of all, before I come to this point, I want to elaborate a bit about the summit, because you like saying it's not political, there was not African head, but I want to make you to understand something. France is understanding something, that this is a no-again generation. This 21st generation, they are more smarter than what they think. So what the Western power now wants, and what France in particular wants from Africa, is to grow up vibrant youth who can work for them. So for them arranging a summit, if these people arrange this summit, and that summit was held in Africa by these activists and whatsoever, it could have been very perfect. I could have seen their view. But since that summit was held in Europe, in France, it means there was a purpose for the summit. And what France is going to do, those who have spoken vibrantly, they are going to lobby these activists, and they are going to work on their favor. Look on every leader that have worked in France, in Africa, sorry. If you look, they were studied in Europe, or basically in France, and they go back home. These people, when they come in Europe, they transform them. They give them different ideology, different mentality. When they are coming back home, I will quote an example like what is happening like in Guinea-Conakry. I am not in support, according to my view, it's my opinion. I'm not in support on the current interim president, Doumbouya, because this person is a legend. He's a soldier that was trained by the French. And he came back to work for his government and now plotted a coup. And this, do you know what? Because a legend, when you attended the level of a legend, it means somebody you are going to work under the French till you die. So he owes an allegiance to the French flag. No matter what he's going to do, I'm telling you, he's under the French influence, and the France have understood that the youth are becoming very wise. He needs somebody who is a youth that can have the popularity, yes, and is still the person they are going to put there. I'll go back in my country, in Cameroon. His Excellency, the head of state, President Paul Biya, he studied in France. Yeah. He did everything in France. Yeah. When he came back, as somebody who was enlightened, yeah, what they did, they gave him the power.
Yeah.
Ahmadu Ahidjo in his of late gave him the power, that I trusted you. You are more smarter than me.
Yeah.
Hold this position for me. That was a well-planned act cooked by France to, yes, put somebody there, yes, who will be answerable to them.
Yes, I want to interrupt you just 1 second, because just remind our listeners that this is a community radio. So we have people coming in, coming out. So now we're going to have another guest who is just waiting at the door. So I leave you just 1 second, Thomas. You can keep on talking. Let me just open the door to our next guest who is coming in. Okay, just like for the next topic that we want to talk about. Coming soon.
Yes, like I was saying, so you know, France always have this opportunity, this capacity of building who they want, because they are seeing that their rule is falling apart in Africa. And what they want a vibrant youth who are talking on the, who are taking the position of the people, and whom the people love and cherish because of their activities. Now, when they are going to bring these people in, they are going to build them up, give them the light, make them to believe that, yes, they have the right. That's why I don't love democracy, because democracy shows your enemy. You when you come to speak that you have the right to speak, you are indirectly proving to them that this, we can identify this person, that this is my enemy. When there wasn't any democracy, it was very hard for the Western world to realize that this is an enemy, because we do things on the background. So I am mostly elaborating on this position in that we cannot be holding a summit that's an African summit, and that summit is held in France, and you tell me it wasn't a cooked up story for it to be that, no, France is trying to give the power back to the EU. No, it is not France giving us our power. We have our power. We were a people in our society. We have our system of governance. France cannot come and tell us, teach us what we have to do to our society, or tell us how we have to govern our society. No, we have to build a society around us. That's a society that is an African society, an African awareness. And I will not only talking on the side of, because the influence of the Europeans in Africa is very broad. And when I talk about this, the political aspect I know is just about 20%, but I mostly love to hammer on the religious aspect, because it is their main foundation.
Yes, and this is also maybe your hobby horse. Before we continue, I want to welcome Peter Onana, who just joined us, and I'm sorry if I have to open the door. As I was saying, that this is the community radio, so we just work as a community. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank
you're welcome. So thank we you. We started this conversation with a background of what's happening in France at the moment. As you know, probably there's the summit France Afrique happening in Montpellier at the moment in France, and unlikely as the past years, different from the past years, there are no head of state that are invited. It is the civil society, intellectuals, young people, and we were discussing about the many challenges that can be, that were touched during that summit, and also the possible solutions of those of those challenges. And Thomas mentioned the arm deals that France has with so many African countries. He mentioned the spiritual aspect, the religion aspect. He mentioned the intellectual that are kind of bots, because studying in Europe went back to Africa. Do you still have the African mindset to solve the problems at home, or are you coming? Are you going back with the baggage, the what you learned here, which is can be quite pressing, because you being immersed into a different culture, which can really maybe take you away from what were your beliefs. So that's what we have been discussing. So welcome to the show,
thank
Peter.
You, thank yeah, okay. You, thank you.
So
thank
do you.
You
have any comments about what's happening in France at the moment in Montpellier with the France Afrique Summit?
First, I don't want to interrupt my brother, so allow him to go ahead first. Okay. Then I will add some.
Yes. Okay, Thomas, we listen to you. I know that we were talking about the spiritual aspect.
Yes, talking on the spiritual aspect, because they understood very well that for them to really control us, they have to control our mind. They have to make us believe on something that cannot make us to think. When you believe, it stops your reasoning. It stops you to think. It stops you to find out. So they created this aspect of religion.
Yes. I like that, you know, and I also want to say something. Today, you are a young man, and you're mentioning this spiritual aspect very much. And myself, well, I am a little bit older, but I can see today that young people in Africa, not only they are embracing this, the spirituality of our ancestor, a lot of them are doing it, but unfortunately, or I don't know how it works in hand to hand, but you also have a lot of religions, Christian religion, or let's say exported religion that have foot into the continent. How is it possible? Because we're talking about young people who are all intelligent. How is it, if we're talking about our fathers who didn't have the choice, who were imposed, where religion was imposed to them, why do young people today still continue to follow this exported religion? Why? What's the problem here?
I'm going to enlighten our listeners a little bit on that aspect. You know, we are just naive. We are acting out of ignorance because, one, our system of education is being organized and implanted into us by the Westerners. Like when we go to history, you cannot have a history, you're going to write an examination, and African history and Cameroon history, which is your country, they both have 40%, and a Western religion, which is their culture, is having 60%. Is not normal. That's like taking you away out of what you are supposed to know. So we are all ignorance, and what we're going to blame, our teachers for not doing research, for not being researchful to dig the history, to tell us the truth. They just take what they are lazy. They pay them for nothing because they just take what is being designed for them and they just come and lecture us.
But is it that simple? Is it that simple?
Yes, it's simple. When you grow up and they make you to understand that this laptop is a phone, you grow up to use that laptop as a phone. And that's why the European, they use one system to, because they know traveling is more education than what you study in the classroom. That's why traveling with us is like a privilege, it's like a prestige, it's like something that somebody is traveling, it's like heaven is going to fall.
Yeah.
But to them, to travel to any part of the world is nothing to them. They make it very free to them. You just go and you pay the ticket and you have to go. But
so I have a problem with that, you know, because that is a very important point. You mentioned that there is a man attending this conference now, actually, Achille Mbembe. I don't know if you know about Achille Mbembe. Achille Mbembe is a Cameroonian intellectual, you know. He is the one that Emmanuel Macron chose to organize this conference. So he went in many countries in Africa. He contacted many intellectuals. So they put together this thing that's happening. And Achille Mbembe, in all his writing, he's saying that the first block, the first hurdle for Africans to travel, they're actually African themselves. Because Africans cannot travel into Africa. For you to go to South Africa, you need a visa. For you to go to Angola, you need a visa. So Africans haven't solved their own problem. Why don't you put it all into Europe? Because if, let's say, I could just wake up this morning and go to Senegal or go to Cote d'Ivoire, but it's not happening. We have hurdles into our own home. Why do we expect other people to open to us when we are closed ourselves? Because this is the reality, you know, it is a fact. And so we actually telling to other people, I mean, solve your problem first. Why are you accusing me all the time? And that's why Emmanuel Macron is saying, isn't it right a little bit there? Like, you know?
I know, well, my friend will be coming in, but let me just pour a little bit of, yes, a little light from what you just said. France nominating somebody to go and organize something that concerns you.
He didn't nominate. No, because nomination is not what you say. He asks him. He asks.
He's already choosing the person who is going to work for his favor. Choosing you to go and work for you. No, it's not right. How can, yes, I have a benefit from you. Now, what I'm going to tell you, what France is trying to do is that he's seeing that the youth have a different mindset and a different mentality. And how will he know our next move that we need to take tomorrow? When he has organized this person, because he's influential, he's a good speaker, he can convince. Go and convince these people, bring them together, these vibrant people who are trying to change Africa. Bring them together, let them speak their mind. So I will know what I'm going to plan to make sure what they are planning tomorrow is going to fail.
I hear you. But again, let's I'm not doing the devil's advocate here, but let's face the reality here. Achille Mbembe, he's a Cameroonian who lives in South Africa. You know, Achille Mbembe If he goes to Cameroon, I'm not saying that will happen, but he might end up in jail. So that is a man who is not free to go to his country. Achille Mbembe, at the moment, travels with a Senegalese passport because the Cameroonian government denied to renew his passport. Achille Mbembe chosen not to take a foreign citizenship. He could have any citizenship, but he wants to remain Cameroonian. But Cameroonian authorities are putting so many hurdles to his freedom of movement just because of his opinions. So this is the man who is an asset to his country, but his country is denying him the possibility to work for his own country. So what do you expect the other countries to do? So this is a man that France sees. This is a great man. Let's try to take him with us, because your country is not doing it. Are you blaming France for that? Yes.
Sorry.
Peter.
Let me tell you what France always do in Africa. To make it short, they always use Africans to betray Africa. This man you are talking about is a betrayer.
Okay.
He has nothing, as you say, great man. Because if still now there's one African who think that France can change something of have been doing something great in Africa, that means that you are a fool or you are stupid. Because the problem with France now, when you see all those things France is doing now, saying no, Africans don't like it. I don't know, they call it in French, sentiment anti-français.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because France already realized now that before they have, France have in French they call it, excuse me, in French mm-hmm. they call it les grands enfants,
mm-hmm.
grandchild mm-hmm. in
yes.
Africa.
Yes, yeah.
You know what mean grands enfants? Grands enfants mean, for me, mean you are a grown child, mm-hmm. but you don't think, you cannot use your brain because someone always dictate you what to do. Mm-hmm. But now the problem in Africa is France already realized that now in Africa they don't have those grands enfants,
mm-hmm.
they have
men.
No men. Les enfants grands,
mm-hmm.
the child
grown up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you know, les enfants grands, that means les enfants, ils sont enfants, mais ils réfléchissent grand. Mm-hmm. And when someone is young but thinks bigger, mm-hmm. you cannot control him. You cannot dictate him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why France call it sentiment anti-français. Let me ask you a question, if you permit me. When France fights about the World War, the Second World War, you remember in
1945.
Do you know that first France never win any war around the world? They never. And that France, those people, they came to Africa by General de Gaulle, the most criminal man in the world, because every African supposed to hate that man, General de Gaulle, is the cause of what's happening in Africa now.
So, but we
let me yes, fi- let me finish.
Continue, yes.
And he went to Africa, General de Gaulle, to ask help.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that this Cameroonian, Senegalese, Ivory Coast, they went to help France, fight for France.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because the ingratitude of France, even in the war, in French we call it pendant la offrant. In the war, when mm-hmm. they use some names to design to call Africans.
What names of them?
Les tirailleurs.
Okay.
In French, they call it tirailleurs.
Mm-hmm.
That means that someone who has mm-hmm. gone but don't know how
mm-hmm.
to use.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who leave his country, his family to come and fight for you.
Mm-hmm.
You call him that name. So now when I see people, French, especially French citizens, those program, TV program, they say that no, Africans supposed to be grateful. What is that? So, to finish, any person who trade with France now
mm-hmm.
supposed to consider himself like a betrayer.
Traitor.
So we don't, there's nothing. So, We don't even talk about that.
Ashin Bembe. Okay. So Ashin Bembe is an intellectual, and it's not only him. There are a lot of them out there, you know. So, but the dialogue, we live in a democratic society where we give priority to the dialogue. So they went there to dialogue, and I'm not sure if you followed some of the debates. They are quite hard, you know. There are people making very strong statements out there, which will not be possible otherwise, because this is the platform that is open to the world. We have the French president, which is one of, France is one of the wealthiest countries in the world. He sits at the, what do you call it, social, the security, the on the social United, in the United Nations. Yeah, the Security Council of the United Nations. He sits there. So he has a voice there. Now, he's been challenged by a group of young people angry, you know, who feel that they have been used, they have been accused, they have been living everything that you just spoke about. Mm-hmm. Is it wrong to go to talk with those people? Because this is platform, this is, you know, been seen by everybody. Usually Africans are not listened to. Nobody listens to Africans. There's not that media that you call like CNN or France 24 or I don't know, those big news outlets that when you go to check the news in the morning, you go first check there. There's not such news about in Africa. So now we have, Africans have a platform where the French president being there, say they tell to me, and they are telling him very hard thing. Isn't that the positive thing? Do we have to shoot at it just like so, yes, differently?
If African doesn't have that great media, like you say, mm-hmm. the Westerners, when they build their media, they do not come and seek our opinion for us to listen to them. They make the media vibrant and useful to us. Mm-hmm. They have a system. They force them to us. If we Africans can't learn to speak to ourselves, we need to create that media. We need to create that medium to communicate and listen to us. Yeah. When they will realize that we listen to ourselves, they will be forced to come and listen to whatever program we are holding, so that they will also be trying to plan theirs. But since we already, when you accept that we don't have, already that's a sign of defeat. We are given the upper hand to control us.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Organizing program like this, calling us to come in their country, hosting our problem that concerns Africa in Africa, to come and host it in their country and talk about our problem. That's why I tell you,
totally
to
nonsense.
Me, democracy is the worst shit we ever have so ever. Because before, do you know why many of the revolution were very strong and many of this Western world, even between themselves, they could gain their independence and their freedom because there were no shit like democracy, like I have that freedom to speak. Since you are afraid that if I speak, I cannot speak. If I speak, they are going to kill me. Mm-hmm. You now do things behind the doors, like on how? The background.
I want you to give me an example of that background behind the door. How do you do this?
Behind the doors, because I cannot say I'm coming to attack you, and I come on social media, I say, oh, I'll be coming on this day to attack regime. You already know that I'm coming to attack you. You know that I'm the enemy. Now you are planning a defense on my attack.
Yes.
But had it been I put it secretly, okay, on this day like this, it's alone, it's my program alone, I'm going to attack regime on this day. I'm going to successfully carry out that attack. Democracy is just why they come up with the so-called democracy is another form of imperialism.
Exactly.
They want to fish out the bad seat. They call the people who want to fight for Africa bad seat. That's how they call them.
Dictator.
And they bring that democracy to fish them out, because they'll easily fish out by their words, what they will come to say, the population they have. Now they will know this is an enemy to us. We can easily fish. But if that person was just like mobilizing, working on the background, doing, making the jobs done, without speaking, without saying, they will hardly dictate that person.
But how do you do that? Because we're not going back to the Middle Ages. You know, we are living in this contemporary world where the world is one. You can't walk isolated. You belong to groups. You belong to the United Nations. You sign international agreements. You belong to clubs. You go to the IMF to borrow money. You are accountable to them because they give you the money. You already into the system where you can't live isolated. How do you do things on the back? How can I even do it with today's social media? You know, are you being realistic here?
Yes. I want to say something on borrowing. You're going to borrow money.
Yeah.
I want to tell you something. We are not borrowers. Africans were not grown or groomed into borrowing. That's why you see even in Europe, you hardly see an African who go and borrow money, except that one I call them sellout, who have been captured by the Westerners, by their Western style of doing things. If you see an African rolling even in a Mercedes or in a Porsche or whatsoever, in a Range Rover, you see him paying cash. We love doing cash. Now, that borrowing system is a European system. It's their style of living. They implement it to us, making us to feel inferior, borrowing all this money. I'll quote you an example for the president who is of late, Magufuli. Mm-hmm. He refused money. He came with, he made a country that was empty. The coffers he made was empty. But what did Magufuli did? He managed to govern that country for 4 good years without borrowing. He told how many billion China wanted to give for him to create, to reopen the port but he refused this money. And yet he reopened that port.
It is possible because
so when you are talking that we're living, we borrow, must we borrow? Haven't we have enough resources? We have the resources.
Okay.
We have the money.
Yeah.
Now, to me, when we talk about borrow, I am very, very contented to borrow money from Onana, who is my brother, than to go and borrow money to somebody far away from the other side.
I hear you.
Now, the problem we are facing is that, first of all, they have to. That's why I will go back to religion, because religion brought the division. Religion make us not to be brothers.
No.
Religion make us not to believe to ourselves.
Before we go to religion, you mentioned about the borrowing system. You borrow to your brother, Onana. Do we have mechanisms in Africa whereby Cameroon can borrow to Nigeria? Because that's the reality. Do you have that? Can you borrow in Africa?
Please let me explain you something here.
Yeah.
There's no one who borrow money from no one. To no one, that this never exists. Let me explain you how things going. France, because I always talk about French country in Africa, French colony in Africa.
Yeah.
French country, they control our outside sell. When we sell our gas, petrol, our resource, that money, French take that money straight to their bank. They call it in French trésorerie française. Mm-hmm. They keep that money there because even that money, that currency, franc CFA, that means colonie française d'Afrique. You know that. That is the real meaning of franc CFA. So when they control now our outside sale, they keep the money in France. Now they take that money, put that money to international bank.
Mm-hmm.
Even 10 billion, they put in there. They collect the interest. They come now to Africa, say that, okay, someone wants to borrow money. So it's our own money produce that. So don't use that word. When someone use that word, that African always borrow money to Europe, that never exists. They use our own money to
to control us.
It does. It does exist because why? What you mentioned here, it is a mechanism that exists with France, with 15 African countries that speak, that have the French in common, and they have also in common the Francais, the currency that exists back during the colonization time. And but you have only 15 countries. You have other, Africa has 54 countries or 55, I think. So you have other 40 countries that don't use that mechanism. Where do those countries borrow then in Africa? Where do they borrow?
Okay.
And yet they borrow.
We are talking about 15 countries in Africa.
Yeah.
Those 15 countries, they are the most poor country in Africa. Why we have to talk? We have to be concentrated about those 15 countries.
We cannot be concentrated
because is the only those countries France control.
Okay. Yeah.
Who remain poor? Who remain in the low class?
I have to disagree with you because Sierra Leone is not part of the 15 countries.
You cannot compare Sierra Leone with a country like Niger.
Like Cameroon, maybe.
Let's say Niger. Concerning poverty, can you compare those two countries?
I don't know. We don't have figures at the moment.
But Niger has a very rich
material
resource.
Yes, resources.
So that is so. It's
Thomas wants to say something.
Yes. When we're talking on Africa globally,
yes,
France have a huge influence all over Africa.
Exactly.
One, I quote an example of France as the only country that has the mandatory power to sell weapon, to weaponize Africa.
Actually, want you to give me the source of that information.
Yes, that is true. I'll give you the source. Now, if they have this opportunity, this advantage of weaponizing Africa. Now, if it happens that in Mali or in Niger or in Sierra Leone, there is a fight in Sierra Leone. Who sold weapon? The weapon they are using here, there, before the fight, who sold them? It's France. It's coming there to bring instability. And France is the only country in Europe that have that mandatory power. He comes and takes this material and then come and share between the others. Which means he's like their problem finder. Create the problem. Create the instability. Take this thing and bring, we are behind you. So in every part of Africa, be it English speaking or whatsoever they speak, France is there. In Rwanda, France is there. In Uganda, France is there. So France have this influence because one, he has what you need. He has that weapon that you want. And what is going to come in the world, like I told you last time, France is very, very political than any other country in the world.
Okay, why?
Very
why
dangerous.
Why is it that? No. Why is it that? Because here, again, I know the history. We know the history of France with Africa. Mm-hmm. The same history was also the one of the British, and it was the one of Germany. But we don't have that antagonism that exists among Africans with those two other countries that I've mentioned. But why is it France there? Because we are no longer children, as you were saying. We are now grown-up children, right? Mm-hmm. Why then do we still allow France to be that powerful with that inside? I mean, our president, why are they then doing? Why do they allow it? Because France is not important. I mean, so what's the problem here?
Yeah. Let me answer the question for you. Do you know we don't want to allow them to stay to control us? But there's two sides of control. If we stop those two sides, France will never control us.
Which one?
First, diplomacy in Africa. Mm-hmm. All those ambassadors. Mm-hmm. Secondly,
you want to close the ambassador?
I'm coming. Because those people, they are not a diplomatic people. They are there like, they call it in French, espion.
Spies.
They make every single thing who happen in Africa, they report
it. I want you to elaborate on that because, so you are saying that embassies must be closed.
I'm coming. Let me tell. Yeah. I'm coming. Let me tell you. The second is that religion. Mm-hmm. Those priests, blue priests. Mm-hmm. Third, those non-governmental organizations. Mm-hmm. Four, those big lobby, like Total Health. Mm-hmm. Let me explain now. Do you know how France managed to control Africa
by bringing gun, financial war. Do you know how? Let me tell you. Those big lobby we call ELF, they bring gun through the boat, because ELF, no one controlled the boat. Who make transition petrol or this? No one control it. You used to, if you remember, one long time ago, they said that we keep the Cameroonian police, marine army. They caught one container full of weapon. You remember that time? That time was when Bolloré was still controlling our port, seaport. Do you remember that time? That means that when that elf, when Africa, French can send gun. However you want. Now, the role of church is everywhere in the world, no one control line, church, priest, those things, what they are with who they are talking, mm-hmm. with who they are sending the message, no one. That is how friends, they use to talk each other, you know? Mm-hmm. And now those non-government organization, they are those who transport those guns from the air, from the seaport now, to give for those people they call rebel.
So these are just supposition. We don't really have proof, do we?
We have proof. Do you want when they do that, someone go there to record the record?
Okay, just of recent. Just of recent in Mali.
Yes.
A French national was caught in Mali supplying weapon with huge weapon in his magazine, supplying this weapon to the rebels, and he himself confessed to the national TV.
Mm-hmm. How do you think those happen arrive there?
Accountable. How did it arrive?
How did they arrive?
For sure, there's a market.
He is a middleman. He is not something. I'm telling you something of recent. Go on. Even in France, Venkat, you will see he himself, when he was caught, France tried to come for his release and everything, the mm-hmm. intervention, and they said they should fly him back to, and they said no, we cannot bring him there, and if we have to bring him there, we need to have a backup. That's when the Russia come in, because Russia was there for
exactly.
The person that give the information and everything, and for his arrest. Russia was behind. So they are planning for his release. So Russia to also have to accompany them.
You were talking about religion as well as Thomas. He's very much an expert. I don't want to say expert, but that is something that you speak a lot about. Again, religions. It's something that is so personal to any of us. You know, we are spiritual. So how then do you think you can separate people's beliefs as a solution, you know, for the challenges that Africa faces? Because if I believe in the Christian God and then I wake up in the morning and I pray to God and I'm happy, I'm okay, and then one day you come to me and tell me that, look, it's not the true God that you have been praying, you know, actually dish that come to this, you know, you really need a strong, very strong, you know, base to take me away from that. How do you do that, you know? How do you do that, especially if I see my president going to sworn in the church, if, yes, my minister getting married to the church, you know, how do you do that? Because all the authorities are actually selling the exported religion.
That is what I call religion as fictitious, because they make you to believe. How can somebody who will sell weapon to people, to a citizen, to kill his own citizen, go to the church and pray? And those are the people you even admire because they are your president. They go
yes,
to church.
And that is
you
very,
admire them.
What? No, this is no, we are talking about the youth. You know, we are talking about an audience. So
I want you to explain
that, because you have the people on authority. You know, you have people in authority. We look up to those people. If your father, whoever it is, let's say my father is the president of the republic, and then that man wakes up in the morning, I see him doing the sign of the cross, and then I see my mother doing the same, and then he goes to church. I mean, I'm going to follow that, and one day it will be almost close to the impossible for me one day unless something
that's
happens.
What exactly how that's why we are here to make it possible.
So
thing must change.
How? Because that's what you say. We have people on power who are doing totally different. How do you make things change?
Now I want to make people to think out of the box, not inside the box. Religion and the Bible makes you to think inside the box. Now I am standing as a free thinker. I want everyone. Let us keep this Bible aside, this religion aside. Let us think out of that religion.
These are the proofs
I want to bring to you. These are the steps.
You need to free your mind first, because if you are inside, let's say, a Christian, you cannot think out of the box, as he said. That's the problem.
I will ask you a question. Do you think if someone tells you, or if I come to you today, or you realize you have a proof that I murdered your parents, and I come to tell you that your parents that grew you up till this age, I killed them today because I realized that your parents were witch, are you going to believe me who murdered your parents?
I know.
Okay.
Now, because this religion we worship, was this religion, do we grow up and with this, did our parents grow up with this religion, or this religion was imposed to them?
I mean, it was imposed.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, this is where I want us to reason out of the
and
box.
It is fair like that. It is fair to impose someone your own religion. Yes. It is fair.
Something that is false.
Yes.
Is false is false.
Yes.
Finish.
It was forced to you out of your will. Now I want you to use your will to accept this religion.
Okay.
Now, this is what I'm trying to say to my fellow Africans. You just talk of this, the president and our leaders going to church and praying to this God. Do you know why they go to church and pray to this God? They go to church and pray to this God because they know that the God is fake. Because they know that the God cannot do anything to them. They go to church to identify themselves as sent, for which they are not sent. You and I know that they are not sent. I don't know if you don't know, but that they are not sent. But I know they are not sent. I know these people are killers. Their hands are stained with blood.
So what's the point in going to the church?
No, the point in going to church is because they realize that they can't go to our God, our belief, that is spirituality. We call them the deities. When they go to these deities, they know that these deities they are not that fictitious God. They react instantly. Surely, when you go there to pray to them, you will have the reward. They will tell you that you are a killer, and they have what they are going to. So they want to identify. They want to promote this God, so that their crimes and their deeds will not be proven, because this God cannot prove their crimes, cannot prove their deed. So they want to identify themselves, make themselves to be self-worthy and trust that they go to church, because the church is political.
Yes.
First, the initiative of creating the church, this religion, was to conquer and control. They conquered when the Bible is talking about the Israelites.
I hear you. So what you're saying because we'll come back to politics, because this is all politics. You're saying that all those leaders who go to church, they know very well that the church is fake, and they're going there because they know that their sins will not be seen because they are praying a fake God. Okay, and the same time you are accusing France to be responsible of Africa's ills.
Destruction.
Yes, but you don't have those leaders who are then supposed to be working for their people. So now, if
we have Africans who were working for their people,
where are they?
They kill them. They always assassinate these people.
No, wait, because you accuse the head of states of Africa to go to pray to a fake God, okay, so that the crimes are not revealed. At the same time, you are accusing France to be responsible of Africa's ills. So, those leaders, they are Africans, right?
Yes.
So,
now, I will quote an example in my own home country in Cameroon. The Bamoun people, even if you become a president, as far as you are coming to that community, to that county, You respect the president of that country. When he comes to his village, he respects the phone. Do you know why? He gives that respect to the phone. And the people in that community respect the phone more than the president, because they held their tradition in high esteem, not religion. And the president himself knows that if I go out of the tradition, I can't even step my leg.
I really want us to, you know, on our next debate to focus about the traditions, you know, because I think that is the point where really we don't have things clear. We have African tradition that have been dismantled, you know, with the colonialism, because for you to impose your own culture, you have to erase what you found. So that thing happened. Now we have to find a way, how do we have it back? Which is maybe that's where I'm not getting really your message, because how do we do that? Are we accusing an external body to because now we know what's going on. So how do we fix that? That is the problem here. Because spirituality being something so personal, how do you take that Jesus in me that has been put there for generation after generation? Is it something that happens like that? Maybe we need a training course, a workshop, something, you know, totally a call, whatever. We need maybe a Messiah, one of our ancestors. Yes, one of our ancestors coming back to tell us, you know, something. But the way you explained it, I see it very difficult to grab our religion back.
What we need to grab our religion back, we need a radical Africa. Africa has to become radical and not the other way around.
No dialogue.
Yes. No, the thing is, we have been groomed into a system which to transform, to bring that Christianity into us, it was through radicalization. They have to be imposed, they have to flog us, they have to put us into prison, they have to treat us for days, our parents, without food. And to Africa are used to with this system, to put something into their brain due to the system that was organized by the colonizer, by the imperialists, was a thoughtful system. So the people we need in Africa, we need radical leaders. Why I'm saying radical leaders, because the Westerners will call them radical. The Westerners will call them dictators. So those are the kind of people, the people who we impose.
Yeah. Okay.
First of all, how can we go back to our system of spirituality, not religion? Because spirituality, when we mix up things, that's where they say things fall apart and the center cannot hold. First of all, Africa, we need to have one language. We don't need to use neither French nor English in our school education.
That's the first step.
In the curriculum.
If you achieve it,
to eliminate that, we have to implement an African language. Our children will now start to understand the teachings and the ways of our spirituality. We have to have our system of education. When I go to history, I realize mathematics that we all study in school today, that we use in everything, creating of computer and everything, was created by a black man. And yet his name is not popular.
Yeah, but whose fault is that? So again,
the thing is, I am still saying it is the fault of the European, and it is the fault of, because let me tell you something. If you created something and your name is not popular, and these people have to implement, to manipulate, to make sure it is their name that is being heard, it means that there is a problem. And how can we do to solve this problem for our name to be heard?
Yeah.
We have to learn to support and promote our own.
Yes, I agree with you. To be honest
and
with you.
In Africa.
Yes, for sure. We're doing that. But again, for the promotion of anything comes through the leaders of those places. So now, for me, my problem many times is about, yes, there's the responsibilities of the colonizers. There is, because the impact is still there. You have the agreements that were signed that are still there. But the people who run those countries now, they are people who have studied, who have big diplomas, masters, doctorates. They are knowledgeable people. Why don't they implement what you just said? Why don't they create an educational system where the spirituality of Africa is being taught, where those people from history, the mathematician you mentioned, are being taught to the children? Why don't they do that? Why don't they create a system, an educational system, where one language is being promoted in school? Why don't they do that if they have the knowledge to do it? Why?
Let me answer the question.
Yeah, free people, why?
Exactly, yes. Let me answer the question. I always focus in French country in Africa.
Yes, okay.
All those leaders,
yes,
have been graduated in France. Mm-hmm. And when you school to France, they will implement you French tactic, French system. The way when you will go back to Africa, you will always and only fight for their interest, France. So never Africans, never think that those leaders are there for our own interests. So that is why first, when he was talking about the religion, that is why nothing can change if we keep those leaders there, because they are work for France.
Yeah.
Secondly, let me talk about when we say, I don't know if you know about how we call it, that Belgium king.
King Leopold.
Leopold. Yeah. Do you know there's a lot of record, mm-hmm, people? Do you know what he said concerning the religion when the first missionary arrived in Congo? He said that when he sent those people like a priest, like a missionary, but there was a military with Christian suit.
Yeah.
They say, he said that in French, he said, allez là-bas, ne les apprenez pas Dieu. Ils connaissent déjà Dieu. When you are going there, don't try to teach them God. They know they have their own God already. Just make them understand that the God they trust, they believe, is the bad God. That's it. And if you implement that in their brain, we will control them. And the proof is that even now, you know magic. In French, we say, let's go in English. When you say witchcraft, you know witchcraft. You know the meaning of witchcraft? Witchcraft is, in French, people call witchcraft magie noire, mm-hmm, black magic. Mm-hmm. Do you know why they call it black magic? Because the meaning of black magic is someone who use magic
for the bad things,
mm-hmm, for the wrong side. Mm-hmm. So that means that the magic, they give black magic. That mean, and the black magic, if you go about the history, they will say the black magic is from Africa.
You mean that the African spirituality has been demonized.
Black magic is from Africa.
Yeah.
What is that?
It is very common. Yes, it is. And I really want us to, I think that among the problems that we have, yes, we have been wash-brained a lot, definitely. I mean, wash branding is not only really in Africa, because many other cultures suffered that, you know. South America was one of those places that was hit as well. The Western, when they went around for the imperialism matters, they really destroyed a lot of cultures around the world. That's how things work. I think we really should focus next time on the aspect of, now that we know the problems, and that's what the problem, because here, the solutions have not been clear enough in this conversation.
Yes.
The solutions of our problem, we know the problem. Now, how do we get out of this? Because we have the people on power who, mm-hmm, we look up to. They are the one who sign agreements for us. You don't do anything with whatever if your president doesn't sign you. If you do it, either you end up in jail or no one hears you. So there should be something official that has to be implemented, and that thing doesn't yet exist. Or does it, you know? So really, that's what I'm saying.
Yes, we have to go back to, okay, I will quote an example. Like in 2015, 25 million Nigerians, in 2015, 25 million Nigerians were switched out of Africa. Those are doctors that could treat patients, do good jobs. Our health facilities and our health centers could be very good, but they were taken to India. This year, 2021, as I'm talking to you, 15 million. Again.
15 million what? 15 million.
Doctors. That is what we call brain drain.
Yes.
That is the system Europeans are using to us. Now, what is the solution? The solution now, for when you talk about education, education is not about getting those diplomas, those degrees, because people like Thomas Sankara, I'm not seeing the school, the kind of education they had to control Africa in that way. Yeah. People like
Kwame Nkrumah,
this Idi Amin Dada of Uganda. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing the type of education they had.
Well, it's not really an example. You cannot put Idi Amin Dada here.
Why?
Idi Amin Dada is one of the best presidents.
Why
in
not? Okay. Because European make you understand that he's a dictator. Because he doesn't serve their interests. That's why.
Be careful about that. Let me tell you, one of the worst presidents existed in Africa in history, which is the European hero. And it's not an African hero, it's Nelson Mandela. But you know that Nelson, from the history you know and what you have in mind, the perception is that Nelson Mandela is a great man,
somebody
who fought for South Africans. No.
That will never work anymore.
In the South Africans know that it was Winnie Mandela who fought for them, not Mandela. Mm-hmm. Mandela was sellout at one point. Mandela had to kill four of his friends that fought together when he was in prison. Before he came out in prison. Mm-hmm. And that was when Winnie Mandela said, "This is not my husband."
Well, I mean, Mandela, whatever he did, we are all humans. You know, I'm not sure that... No, look, I'm not sure that... I mean, this is my personal opinion.
Somebody...
I'm not sure that we can really, you know, put Nelson Mandela in that bad light in the history, because he did things, for sure. He did things. Now, along the way, mistake might have happened along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
somebody who we were fighting to gain back our land, to gain back our freedom. We were fighting all these things with blood. People died. Houses were burned. Properties destroyed. At the end of it, this land was still given back to the people who were fighting to get it from them. And somebody like Idi Amin Dada, who when he came to power, he took those land, took those shop. Who wants this one? Take it. Give it back to the citizens. Mm-hmm. Yes. And you want me to believe that
he was
this
a
person
criminal.
Was a criminal, was a dictator, he wasn't fighting for my interest.
I agree with you. You know, there are a lot of things, even in Zaire, Mobutu Sese Seko, there are things that they did, but at a certain point, there's been a dictatorial shift. You know, Idi Amin, for example, he became an emperor. You know, all this display of wealth.
You saw it in a film.
You saw it
in a history book, and they tried to create a movie to depict the character, the person called Idi Amin, but that is not Idi Amin.
That is
not Idi Amin. I have a video. I will send it to you on WhatsApp for you to see when Idi Amin, after the war, the lectures Idi Amin was giving to his people to understand something. I mean himself, the lecture he was giving to people.
So I am asking as a solution, why aren't those videos made public, you know, to the young generation so that they know their history, even those so-called dictators?
Let me tell you something. It was one of his videos that I'm going to send to you on WhatsApp. One of Jamie's videos when he was talking, he talked about the religious aspect. And he talked about there was a book written by one great African about the bad ills of religion, and they took that book down. They took everything he sent online, they took it down, and that book, everything was destroyed because they never wanted it to go out. Okay, now we know, like, let's all say, like, there are things I'm even afraid to post on social media, because I once did it loud, once they have to ban me on social media for 24 hours that I went out of Facebook, social media. What are they trying to do? Immediately you post that thing. When there was the coronavirus breakout, there was one Nigerian woman who was a doctor in the United States. He posted a video about three different videos.
Yes, yes.
Talking about how he has treated mm-hmm. patients who have coronavirus. That video was taken in not less than 24 hours.
Yes, of course. Just to tell you, a sitting American president was banned from social media. So to tell that, it doesn't target only a category of people. You know,
yes, yes.
The ban
because
is really
why are they banning this person? Because this person is a no-nonsense person. Because that person is a person, when he sees A, he tells you A. It doesn't matter if he's going to hurt you or what. But what these people need, they need a puppet. They need somebody who will sing praise, who is a hand clapper. And somebody like the president was not that type of a person. You cannot just shut him up like
what
that.
I'm saying
now
that
I'm coming now back to the possible solution. Now the solution is we have to forget about names. When we leave, we put names outside in Africa, we are going to build a better Africa. Monsieur le doctorat, the commissaire, those doctorate names, those people who studies in Harvard, we should put Africa, who the leaders who have to put African first. Now, how are we going to do that? There is going to be a mechanism that have to come in place. And it means that mechanism have to come in community building. How do we have to build a community? We have to build a community like one, changing the language. Let us have, the language is one barrier of unity that brings us to have mutual understanding between us.
Exactly.
When we change this language, that's the very big problem we have. Because now, the language is a problem because, like I will go into Cameroon. When a Yaoundé man is in power now, they say, oh, it's because it's a Yaoundé man, that is why. But do you think if the whole of Cameroon was speaking Yaoundé?
No one will complain.
We will not have that difference.
I totally disagree with you here because, I mean, in Senegal, for example, they all speak Wolof, unless in Congo, they all speak Lingala. But are they okay? I mean, they are complaining to each other.
Yes, let me tell you, yes. They speak Wolof and they also speak, even in Senegal, they speak Wolof and they also, what they also where's speak, the, they call it...
where's the official language in Senegal?
It is French.
Okay.
What's the official language in Congo?
It's French, but all of them speak. No, all of them speak. No, all of them speak one language. They understand each other.
When you go now to Senegal, when you go now to Senegal, do they sit in their parliament or whatsoever and speak Wolof?
They
speak French.
I've never been to the parliament in Senegal, but I'm pretty much sure that they speak Wolof.
They speak French.
No, what? Do you follow the French, the Senegal television?
They speak Wolof. Yes, but it's not
the media, the television that speak Wolof is just like the promoters, the blogger station,
not
the mainstream, not the main
national program.
No, please. We don't fuck over this. You know, we just go there, put the Senegalese news at 8 p.m. They speak Wolof in Senegal.
No, but
maybe there are different programs in the different program, but they certainly speak Wolof.
When we are talking of something that concern that is national, it has to be something like let me say you will never hear a French person go to the summit or whatsoever and speak English. He will speak in French.
French.
Yeah.
That's what the mentality I'm trying to create. That is the mindset I'm trying to create here.
Yes.
The Chinese man will not go to that assembly and go and speak in French or English.
So one solution would be the language.
The solution should be the language changing. When we change the language, when we have one unique language, even if there will be some differences, but that language will be as a bond, a contender of unity between
unity.
Us.
Yes.
Secondly, our school
system
our system of education.
Yeah.
We have to make our system of education to be more... to be more of creativity more than thinking and talking, because our system is being packed up of 95% of it is just to talk and not creating the awareness of thinkers. We don't have thinkers. That's why the creativity is very, when we have one here, it is easy to pinpoint that person. But when you come in the Western world, everybody is a thinker. Everybody can create, everybody can do something. Somebody can create a Mercedes-Benz, somebody can create a Toyota, it is that competition. So we need to create that competition, that competitive mentality, that craftsmanship. I remember back days before, my elder brother, when they used to go to school, we call it exhibition, but we call it handwork. That is, when they say it is time for handwork after the exam, there's something you have to bring, we call it exhibition. You have to create, you have to build something. Some people will make chairs, some people will make tables. Those things, you see, you bring out the creativity in that child. But now, they wipe out this system and bring out now the handwork, and this exhibition was not 10 for 100 francs. when they ask you for a handwork, everybody, every child have to bring 100 francs. Now that creativity is not there. So we have to make the educational system to become a craftsmanship system. That before these children leave the secondary education, they already have something. They will not be holding their government responsible anymore. Everybody will not be looking that I have to go to the university to work to the government. Everybody knows that, you know that, no, if I can, I can create this fund, I can make this thing out of this thing, I can do this thing. Those are the solutions.
Craft as a solution, yes. The complaints in Africa, in Cameroon, at example, was a lot that people were trained to become civil servants and to not having any at all the creative spirit and what
we are. Let's say for a year, Cameroon will produce only in University of Boya, we can produce, let's say, 2,000 law students. How many courts do we have? Where are they going to? Everybody wants to study law. Everybody wants to become a secretary to this. Everybody wants to become a minister. How many ministers are we going to have?
It is very important. Just to add that, you know, in Africa, in many countries in Africa, there are still a lot of illiteracy. You know, the majority, it's not the majority that has education. So actually, Africa still needs a lot of lawyers, a lot of those people, because you focus maybe in Yaoundé and Douala. If you go in the north part of the country, for example, or, you know, in the east part of the country, how many people there actually educated? So actually, there is still the need of, you know, all sorts of jobs. I just wanted to say that you cannot just say that only the art craft is needed at the moment.
It is, but I will still tell you that somebody, let me tell you something, like I'll quote an example here. I went to deliver tithes to one of former minister of I think basic education in Malta. I went to deliver tithes in his house. I saw him doing painting and doing the tithes in his own house. But he was a minister. It doesn't mean that when you become you have a craftsmanship, you can't become a minister, you can't work in any sector of the government.
Okay.
That is why the Western system of education, they don't take language as something that have to put you in a high place. No. They have to take your productivity. Like when they say they have to put a minister of work, it means that you really a minister of work. It means that you fit in that domain.
Mm-hmm.
You have creativity. When they say you are minister of agriculture, it means that this person, his creation and everything, they have to go. First of all, you have to be somebody who was a farmer, who is still a farmer. They have to see that it physically, that you are a farmer and you have more ideas to bring in that dimension.
Yeah. Actually, I like what you're saying, because it means that we can actually take some good things from the educational system in Europe.
Yes.
Because everything is not bad.
Everything is not bad. Everything that's why I'm telling you that, because the system in education, I hold them responsible, because they, to assimilate us, they have to craft our system of education. They do not allow us to study our system of education.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will tell you something, it is the truth. It's not about differences or what. Before, let me say, in the 90s and 80s, the Anglo-Saxon system of education in Cameroon was very, very interesting. And even if today, you see that the Anglophones, they are producing, they have more craftsmanship in their era because of their system of education. Now, when France have to do this system of, when the assimilation process began, they have to change this system to suit the French system, because the French system is all about talking, and there is no craftsmanship. So they have to, that's where the problem has to start. I don't want to go into it. I just want to touch the lighting because, yes, we should not go into the political. Yes. Sure. That's where you see they have to, because somebody, let's say, I'm studying in English, and you bring a rector or a professor to me that doesn't know English, that speaks only French, and he's teaching me in French, I have to take extra classes in order to catch up with. I have to go to somebody who has to translate to me to understand. Mm-hmm. I have to buy small leaflets in read. Order to study to know these things. That's where we're having the problem. And now they start to wipe off this system. If you look before, around the 90s and the 80s, we have good in the Anglo-Saxon area, and the southern Cameroon, we have good infrastructures and good those centers. We have the timber company that was in the village where I was born and grew, they call it in Itam, along the Kumbatombe Road. Which, do you know, that company alone, that timber company alone, that it gives birth to more than how many engineers that we could. We have a marketing board system that was created by these very people who live in that era that they could use to finance farmers. At that time, farmers were very rich. They used this system to finance the farmers. And in return, when they remove the produce from the farm, they have to start paying back slowly. It makes them not to have the materials in time for their crops to do well.
I'm not denying that there's, you know, there's a knowledge. There's certainly a knowledge.
The knowledge is there. How can we manifest this knowledge? Give, call a spade a spade. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. You have to give the position to the people who have to rule.
Yes.
Not to, because this person is my brother, or because it's my nephew, or because it's my in-law, you have to be here. You have to call to the people
who have this capability. Yes, and I believe in something, and I'm saying we head into the closure of this show, or it'll be too long. I believe in the power of communication, and that's what we are here. Personally, I think that Africa lacks means of communication that reach the world. But why? It's not that they don't exist. You know, I can name Vox Africa, which is an African medium. Mm-hmm. I can name
African media.
Voice of Africa, VOA.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Where is he listened to? Who clicks on it, you know, naturally? Maybe some people who really are Pan-Africanists. We in Africa, in Cameroon, or wherever here, when you want to follow the news, you go to France 24. This is the reality. I'm not saying that, you know. But why? Because people don't go naturally. So I'm saying that one of the solutions, that's my opinion here, that communication is very important. Before what? Before anything, before whatever, before those solutions that you're mentioning, those solutions have to be channeled through a medium that is watched by all Africans. That when you go, you click on it. That's why I got my news from Africa. Reliable news. So building that reliability of news will, I think, be more powerful than anything else that we can do, because it's missing. We got news from other people. Other people telling our stories. What we're doing here, for example, this community radio is about maybe in our small space trying to, you know, bring up those issues that are really damaging to a lot of people.
Yes, Regime, this is the problem. This is the problem with us in Africa, is that we have been brainwashed so much so that we don't cherish our own. We don't cherish the things we have. We only look the things, because these people made us, they have made us to see them as God, as if everything. That's why we are used to with the media. The media is now another something else. People, we the Africans, we are most based with societal things like washing notes on Facebook. We don't follow up the program because they are this. We have the channels, but we don't watch them. We only want to. We believe on names. That's why I've said, if we keep these names aside and we have to face reality, we need to go back to our root. Now, to go back to our root, we need to create that the state of consciousness. We have to be conscious with ourselves and say that, okay, what is France, the Franz Venkat saying? What can Franz Venkat say? Franz Venkat can only say what, if you are conscious that Franz Venkat can only talk about something that is beneficial to them.
Yes, that's
and
true.
And Africa media can only talk about something that is beneficial to me, African, mm-hmm. and we cut off those links and we go back to our root to look at what that media are trying to talk to us, yes. Africans.
I will not cut those links. I will just follow them. I will follow CNN. I will follow France. Yes. I will follow African media. I will follow all of them. Then I will make my own opinion. I think that's where we have to be. We have to take all those opinions and then create our own way you want to do.
Yes.
Be informed. You know, take an informed
decision. Yes, we have to go to the thing.
Yes, yes, Peter, you want to say something? We are closing this show.
Yes,
so
I just want to complete concerning African education system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we want to change, this is my point, if we want to change,
mm-hmm.
we have to start by teach our son, our youth in Africa,
mm-hmm.
Africa history. Because when I was a student, they never teach me about African history. I know a lot about German, France, Napoleon, De Gaulle, Victor Hugo. That is what I know. And when I realized, when I grew up, I realized that those people, they was not heroes. Because someone like Victor Hugo, he said that African doesn't have history. You know about it. Les Africains n'ont pas d'histoire. And Nicolas Sarkozy said it again. That meant that they are sure, he was sure that he already deleted our brain concerning our history and implement their own history.
Yes, so the
and we have to be sure that we have to be sure that when we change the system, we teach our youth African history and we let them understand that they have a duty to follow, to valorize African history. Like by following African social media, like protect our culture, if we teach them that, I think.
Okay, so this is a good point. I mean, we come up finally with some good solution on the education system and the media aspect, you know, trying to diversify our media and make them strong. As we said at the beginning of this program, challenges are so many. We cannot actually, it was hazardous, let's say, very courageous of us to try to speak about different challenges of that Africa faces. There are so many of them. So we try to narrow them for the next talk. And we hope that you have enjoyed what we've offered today. And then, Thomas, thank you so much for your intervention, which was very strong as usual.
Thank you very much, Regime. Yes. I highly appreciate your effort you're putting for everything you're doing. And thanks to our listeners and our Facebook viewers. And we're waiting, I'm expecting more comments from you, because from those comments, we will be enlightened to know. Mm-hmm. We have more points and more things to elaborate on. And thank you very much. Stay blessed. And we'll be right back.
Sure. Peter, some last word to our listeners.
Thank you. And as he said, I really appreciate what you are doing to open some African mind, because there's a lot of African now. They are still sleeping, expecting change from European. So... Thank you. I'm happy to be here today, and think we'll be together for this long fight.
Yes, thank you, guys. Thanks you, and I want to say that we received some comments in our past show where some our followers wanted to come to the show to intervene. I want to tell you again, this is a community radio that we paired with our Facebook page, so. Feel free to contact us and come here. We are open to you. We want this thing to be regular. We want it to be diverse. We want it to be positive. We want it to be powerful. So you're welcome to join us. And don't forget to follow us as usual on all our social media accounts, African Media Malta. We are also on Twitter. We have a SoundCloud account. We also have an iTunes account. You can follow our web radio on amamradio.com. And thank you for watching and for listening, and see you soon.